All right, so we are going to try this. So we're just going to go ahead and jump straight into it. Hello and welcome to everyone who is listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, your place to come for your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, Cian Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice, and the owner of the Melanin Library, your online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So, welcome to episode number 37, you guys. And I asked y'all on the internet, which topic did you want me to talk about next? Did you want me to talk about why I had to fire my editor? Or did you want me to talk about beta readers and how to differentiate between your feedback? And y'all chose beta readers. So that is what we are here today to talk about. And if you are watching the full uncut version of this episode on Patreon, then you'll know that I'm also sitting here with my wonderful husband, Benjamin, and we are in the parking lot of our local coffee shop. So if you hear outside noises, fair warning, that is where we are at. So, before we get into this conversation about beta readers, beta reading, feedback, all of that good stuff, I want to let you guys know that the sponsor book for this podcast episode is Cursed by Vash Wilson. This book is an adult fantasy and suspense novel that follows the story of Calvin, a college student who becomes cursed with powers that shortens his life every time he uses them. With the power to have a positive impact on his life and others, things change when an infamous gang leader threatens to eliminate his loved ones. Now, Calvin has to decide just how much life he's willing to lose in order to fight for another day to live. To read the full description of this book, head to melaninlibrary.com. And if you're an author who would like to see your book advertised with us, then please visit our services page on our website. Now, let's get into this. So, as I said earlier, Benjamin is here with me, and there are a couple of reasons for this. One, y'all seem to enjoy when he was on the podcast last time. Two, I'm always with him. Three, we both enjoy this. And four, I feel like he asks questions that I don't necessarily think about because I am in this world of writing all the time, and a lot of this stuff has become like second nature breathing to me at this point. So, that being said, he's here to ask some of the questions. So, Benjamin, you're here to ask some of the questions.
Cool. It's nice I got a job here.
Yeah. So, let's start at the beginning and let's talk about what beta readers are just in general. So, the basic definition of a beta reader is just an outside person to get feedback. If y'all hear that, the car is moving because we've been sitting here for a while. Ignore. All right, you guys. So let's talk about beta readers and what they are in the most generic sense of the word, right? So, basically, a beta reader is anyone who reads your work outside of like yourself to read it critically and give you feedback on how to improve the story. And there are different types of readers. So as y'all know, if y'all listened to a previous episode of the podcast, I have a primary feedback provider, this person over here, Benjamin, my husband. But there are people who also have critique partners and alpha readers. And those are slightly different because generally speaking, critique partners, alpha readers, primary feedback providers, they are all basically one step above beta reading because they usually read the unfinished product of your story. So they generally read along as you're going and give you feedback as you're writing it. Whereas a beta reader is purely for once the book is finished, in the most generic sense. There are other authors who do it different ways, but generally speaking, when you're talking about a beta reader, you're talking about someone who is getting the full story, the completed story in one fell swoop, and they're reading it to give the author feedback on how to improve their story. The other thing to keep in mind with beta reading is also that it's not ARC reading. An ARC is advanced reader copy. I know from conversations that I've had with like my coaching and mentoring clients, that is one of the things that generally gets confused. Beta reading is prior to any promotion. These are your trusted people. These are the people who are coming in and they're giving you feedback and they're reporting back to you. They're telling you, hey, I like this, I didn't like this. And they're reading the book as a reader, but they're coming back to you so that you can fix anything that needs to be fixed. An ARC reader is on the other side of that line. An ARC reader does not have to come back and report back to you to tell you how to fix things. They do not have to report back to you at all. They don't even really have to read your book. That is a conversation that's been going on the internet that I will not get into in this podcast episode. But I will say this, an ARC reader is not required to read your book. They are not required to create content around your book just because they received a free copy of it. That is the nature of being an author, especially an indie and self-published author. You run the risk of sending out a book and not having content done around it. That's just the nature of the game. It's a risk that you have to run.
On that note, I want to just add a little tidbit in there. The big thing between a beta reader and advanced review readers who get the advanced review copies is just like the beta readers, their feedback will be taken into account on the final version of the book. Whereas an advanced review copy, generally speaking, unless you get some really horrible news, they read the copy that you're going to publish and sell to people. Beta readers are not reading the copy that you're going to sell to people. They're giving you feedback on a version where you can still make improvements before you send it out to the masses. So you have to send it out to beta readers way earlier.
Exactly. And also keep in mind that with ARC readers, 9 times out of 10, they are getting like a fully formatted, basically ready to go. This book can be on your shelf as a finished copy equivalent. And a beta reader is getting basically like a Word document.
Yeah. They're getting a Word document, a Google document.
Yeah.
A place where they can easily make comments that you can source through. Advanced review copies is like whatever content they decide to make on it, that's what you're getting.
Exactly.
If they decide to.
And they don't have to like the book, they don't have to tag you, and they don't have to let you know ahead of time if they don't like your book or if they're going to leave a negative review. You have nothing to basically, you have no input with an ARC reader. So it's really important to delineate those two. So if you, as an author, are like, oh, I want this person to give feedback on my book, make sure that you understand whether or not that you want them to give you feedback or if you want them to review your book, because those are two completely separate things and unrelated. If you guys want me to get into more depth about how to find beta readers, how to interact with them, how to recruit them, and how to do the same with ARC readers, let me know and I will create another video/podcast episode about that in the future. But that being said, that's basically the baseline of beta and ARC readers. And
one other thing I would say is, make sure your beta readers realize what a beta reader is and make sure they understand that what they're reading isn't the advanced review copy of your book. So it's just like, if you beta read for somebody, you're not then necessarily equipped to go and write a review of that book because you don't necessarily know what the final version of that book looks like unless you bought the final version and read it, because it could be very different.
Agreed. So like I said, if you guys want more details about the ins and outs of beta reading and how to interact and what boundaries and stuff to set up and what things to send them, then for sure, let me know and we'll get into that. But for this particular episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about useful feedback. And part of the reason I wanted Benjamin to be on this is because obviously he's my primary feedback provider. So he is on the giving side of that feedback most often. But he's also the person that I talk to when I get feedback that is both helpful and unhelpful. So I feel like he has a kind of unique perspective on this. But let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about useful feedback, because I feel like a lot of times on the internet, authors are kind of like, I have beta readers, but I don't know what I should take. And again, from my own personal experience as like a mentor and talking to other authors, especially ones who are newer to this space, one of the biggest things is, okay, how do I differentiate between what I need to change and what I don't need to change, especially when you have a lot of feedback to kind of sort through. So this kind of goes into how you interact with your readers. And so I'm going to preface my advice for all of this with saying, you went through the steps of making sure that each of your beta readers have their own document to comment on. I know some authors kind of put everyone in the same document. I don't recommend doing that. I recommend giving everyone their own document to kind of make comments in. That way you don't run into the issue of people basically dogpiling on the comments and being like, one person pointed this out, and so now everyone has pointed this out. Because then you can no longer tell the difference between what is actually useful and what is just people agreeing with other people to seem like they're giving proper feedback, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just to reiterate what you said there, it's just like, if you put everybody in the same document, then you don't know, you know, what's helpful and what's not helpful. But it's like, when it's separate, it's just like, if everybody brings up this same point and they all take something that you wrote not the way that you intended, then it's just like, okay, you probably need to fix that because it's not the way you intended. But if one person takes it differently, it's just like, okay, they had a different upbringing, a different life experience than you. They just might see it differently. But as long as that's not the way most people see it, you might not necessarily need to change that for clarity's sake. You know, it could have just been the way they read it, you know?
Exactly. And if you're watching this on Patreon, I will make sure to include an example of some of the feedback that I got for We Are Dying Gods, where it's just like, oh, okay, this is something that multiple people read and took this one piece of information from incorrectly. So I know that I need to go back and correct it. But that kind of leads me into what I wanted to point out with you guys. And it's just like the main aspect of deciding whether or not something is useful or not is basically deciding for yourself, is this useful? So if you, let's say you have 5 beta readers, right? If 3 of those 5 beta readers individually misread something, then there's a high probability that other people, when they get the book, are also going to misunderstand and misread something. That is useful feedback. However, if you have 5 beta readers and only one of them was like, oh, this didn't make any sense to me, then you kind of have to be like, okay, well, did this not really make sense? Or were you just reading too fast? Were you trying to beta read at like 1 o'clock in the morning? Again, those are considerations that you might want to keep in the back of your mind, because when you publish your book, you're also going to have people reading who are not paying full attention to it, who are like reading it while, you know, their family member or whatever is watching TV or, you know, listening to music or whatever. So you have to keep that in mind, but you also have to determine whether or not it's enough of a deviation from what you intended to completely rewrite it, and if it can be rewritten in a clearer way that doesn't detract from the story. So step number one is, like, in truth, you just kind of have to decide for yourself if it's useful or not, which I know is extremely vague. You're like, Chelsea, what am I listening to the podcast for if that's the whole advice? But also, the other piece of advice that I would say, and you can kind of chime in on this too, Benjamin, is usually useful feedback is very specific about something that you can correct without changing the heart of the story. So this is feedback like, oh, I think this sentence could be clearer, or I didn't understand why this character was doing this, right? Something that's being like, okay, this is clarity, or I think that this should be, you know, I think this should be clearer. I think that this is repetitive. I think that this whole scene took me out of the story and I didn't really like all the dialogue. I didn't like all the exposition, right? That is something that you can correct without completely altering the entirety of what the story is, versus feedback that's like, oh, I kind of want this character to go on a rampage and like kill this person, and this person. Okay, that's an opinion. And if I did that as the author, that would completely change the trajectory of the story, where it's going and how it's interacting. So you kind of have to determine, is this like useful? Like, I can go in and I can correct this and this will improve the story? Or is it, oh, if I go in and change this, it's going to change the story? Because those have two very different vibes.
Yeah. Along that note, I would say it's just like, you need to know what your story is about and the story that you're trying to tell. So it's just like, don't let someone else's feedback detour your story. So it's just like, you have to make sure that you're not adjusting your story to meet other people's preferences. You're still telling the story that you want to tell. You're just getting their feedback so you can tell it better. So it's like, does their feedback allow you to tell your story in a better way that enhances what you were trying to get across? Because everyone isn't going to agree with whatever you're trying to get across. We're all different people. Everyone's going to have a different opinion, and that's okay. But, you know, you just don't want people to misunderstand. They can disagree, but you don't want them to misunderstand. So it's just like, if it can be made clear, if it can give, you know, a better experience, you know, for the readers in general, and it still fit the mode of what you're trying to say, then those are helpful feedback, you know? That's how you can kind of differentiate. Yeah. If it's just like, oh, if I was writing it, I would have did this, it was just like, that's not necessarily good feedback. That's just your opinion and how you would write it, but you're not writing it, so that doesn't really matter, you know? But it's like, if it's like, hey, this dialogue went on for so long that I got bored or whatever, and it's like, if there's something you can change to like make it not boring, or whatever, if you think that you went on too long, if you think that you could have done it better, then yeah, improve it and do better. But if you think it's the best that it could be, or whatever, and it's just because this person doesn't like dialogue, you know, they don't like dialogue-heavy stories, but you're a dialogue-heavy author, then that's just an opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm also going to jump in here with some free unsolicited advice that kind of triggered in my brain off of what Ben said. And free unsolicited advice. When you have a beta reader, one thing that you should always ask them, always, 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 is, was there a point in the story where you got bored and wanted to put the book down? Because a lot of times when you have beta readers, they are not editors. So they are not inherently just going to give you solutions to the problem or even necessarily be able to fully articulate what the problem is. Because a lot of beta readers are reading your book as a reader. So keep that in mind. Like, yes, they are most likely going to be professionals of some sort in the bookish world. A lot of times they're other author friends, or they are like other readers who read professionally, who make bookish content and have reached out to you. That's fine. However, keep in mind that they are not editors. So they may not be able to fully articulate that, oh, your middle was sagging because of X, Y, and Z. But if you ask them, hey, was there a moment when you got bored and they're like, okay, you know, after the first 25% of the book, they would have walked away. Well, guess what? You know what you need to improve on. You need to improve the first 25% of the book so it sells the rest, the next 75% of it. If they got lost in the middle around that 50% mark, you know that you need to do something to correct it. And the reason I say this is because, like, no one's immune from it. Because, like, even for me, right? Like, true story. When I was working on We Are the Origin, if you have read it, I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't, but if you have read it, there is a reveal that happens towards the beginning of the book about why the main character, Brandy, is doing what she's doing. And so you get a little bit of motivation. And initially when I wrote the book, that revelation did not come until basically the end of the book, and you got all the answers later. And part of the reason I ended up moving it is because my beta readers were just like, you know, I started to lose motivation. I started to lose, like,
why is this happening?
Yeah, they started to feel like the book got slowed down too much in the center, because they were like, we don't have any reason for why the characters are doing what they're doing. And so by moving it, it completely changed the entire vibe, the entire reception of the book as a whole. And that's what your beta readers are going to do. They're going to be like, hey, I kind of lost motivation here. And then you have to kind of figure out, okay, like, what can I do to keep the story moving at this point? And for me, it was like, oh, I need to include a reveal here so that the book can have motivation and the reader feels like they're getting something. So it's not all question, 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 question. It's like question, question, answer, question, question, answer, answer, question, question, answer, answer, question, question, question. You feel me? So there's a balance to it versus getting all of your questions up front and then all of your answers at the end. So that's the kind of feedback normally that you want to keep out for, and also feedback for, like, dialogue and, like, world building and setting. And it's just like, can they imagine this place? Does the world building make sense? Are you breaking your own rules? Are you being repetitive? Like, has this conversation already happened? Does this conversation need to happen? Those are the type of things that I generally look for in my beta reading. And again, if you're watching this on Patreon, I will include the questionnaire that I like to include for my beta readers so that I can ask them specifically what kind of information, the exact information rather, that I'm looking for.
Yeah. So if there's anything you feel unclear about, like, you're not sure if this specific area will be received well. You're not sure if this certain area of the book will be perceived well, or if your intent is getting across clearly, you can have a questionnaire after they finish the book and just be like, how did you feel about this section of the book? You know, what you're really trying to ascertain is how your beta readers feel when they're reading your book, whether they're having a good time, not a good time, whether they're confused, not confused, whether they feel like it's slow, fast, or they're just confused or whatever. You want them to have a good time and just kind of roll through it. But yeah, it's just like, you don't know how people are going to perceive it until they read it. And yeah, it's just like, you're going to naturally understand everything and everything's going to make sense to you because you wrote it. But outside people might not necessarily get the same thing from your words. So you have to have beta readers so you can understand, like, yeah, how it's being received, how other people see it.
Yeah, that outside perspective is the whole point of beta reading. But that being said, a lot of times you are going to get feedback that is going to be like, it's not going to be useful. And this is where the differentiation comes in, right? So to be completely honest, completely transparent, me as a person, as an author, I only take about 60% of my beta reader feedback. The rest of the other 40%, I'm just kind of like, that's just personal preference. That's just taste. A couple of examples of this with We Are the Origin. I got comments that were like, oh, I kind of wanted more romance between Jack and Brandy, right? And again, I'm not going to spoil this if you haven't read We Are the Origin, but if you haven't, for sure, read it and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But between the two main characters, they are in an established relationship. They are no longer in the honeymoon phase of their relationship. So the way they move and the way they interact with each other and the way they show their love for each other is a lot more subtle than what a lot of fantasy books tend to show, because a lot of times in fantasy novels and in stories in general, the two main characters are just getting together, or they're in the midst of getting together. It's still very fresh. And so for me, that feedback was just kind of like, okay, I hear you and what you're wanting, but I also was like, this is not my book. No. This is not a romance. I am not here to show you Jack and Brandy falling in love, because they are already in love and have been in love for several years at this point. So the way they interact with each other is going to be very different than someone falling in love for the first time. And so I was just like, if I take that feedback, it's going to change the heart of what my story was, because I was like, I don't want to focus on them so much that I lost the actual plot, the actual adventure that I wanted people focusing on. And the biggest thing with that is when you're trying to decide if something is useful versus if it's just a reader taste type of feedback. If your initial gut reaction is like, yeah, I'm not doing that, that's probably just taste. If you have to sit there and explain to yourself why this person's feedback is probably correct, it's probably not what you want to do, and it will probably shape your story in a way that you don't want to shape it. So it would be probably best if you didn't take that feedback and just kind of let it roll off your back and be like, okay, I hear you, but also no, you know? And it's also like, if something is going to change the intent of what you've written, you know, if you are writing a thriller and someone's like, oh, I want this reveal earlier on, it's just like, if that takes the thrill out of it for you, don't do it. That's not what the story is about, because at the end of the day, you have to enjoy the story that you've written. I say this all the time, because like, A, you have to read your book more than anybody else. You're going to have to read it from start to finish no less than 3 times. First time when you write it, second time when you do revisions, third time when you are ready for that final draft and you're reading through it after whatever edits that you make. At least three solid times. You should be reading it more than that, but at least 3 solid times, you are going to be reading your book from start to finish. So you need to be able to enjoy it. And
hold on that note, I just want to interject. If you don't feel like reading your book at least 3 times, you shouldn't put it out in the world.
Exactly. And here's the thing.
If you don't want to read it, no one else will.
If you don't want to read it, no one else will. But here's the thing. And this is, again, unsolicited advice, but something that I feel very passionate about personally. I am a huge believer that you should be proud of your book. And not in the sense of like, oh, I have an ego, can't nobody tell me nothing, yada, yada, yada. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, I have done the absolute best that I could have done with this book, and I am proud to have my name on it, and I am proud to share it with the world. And if I sit down, if I hadn't written this book and read it 100 times already, I would sit down and read this book for myself. If I had not written this book, this is the book that I wish I would have written. That is how you should feel about your book when you're done. And if you don't feel that way, regardless of what your beta readers say, you are probably not done with your book. You probably have not reached the ultimate version of your book that's ready to be out in the world. And that's okay. But I know that in this world of authoring, a lot of times we can get in our own heads about what it is that we should be putting out, or how often we should be putting out, or what the process should look like. And there are so many self-imposed rules on it. But the biggest thing that I think a lot of people need to like reaffirm their commitment to is their commitment to putting out a good book. No one cares if you put out a book every 6 months, if every 6 months you're putting out something that's mediocre. Because the other thing that's really hard as an Indian self-published author is marketing. And it's like, if you write a good book, it will naturally market your second one. So if it takes you 15 months in between books, Well, guess what? It takes you 15 months in between books, but that first book is going to sell your second one. So when you drop it, you don't have to go back to the drawing board. But if you're dropping a book every 6 months and it's not good, hear me. I'm not saying that y'all are bad writers. I'm not saying that anyone's a bad writer. But if it's not good, it's going to be a lot harder to sell that book, because it's like you're going to have to find a new crop of people who are going to want, I don't say mediocre book, but like they're going to want a mediocre book. And it's just kind of like you have to be mindful of that when you're writing your books and you're asking for your beta reader feedback and you're going through your edits and your rewrites and you're trying to take feedback. You know, not all of it's going to be like golden, like, oh yes, this is exactly what I needed type feedback. But some of it is definitely going to be feedback that you need to take, that you need to do something about. And I will also say this, if you have a lot of beta readers who are saying the same thing, taste or criticism wise, I would recommend that you give it some thought. I'm not saying you should have to do something about it, but I think you should give it some thought. So if you were trying to write a story about an adventure and you have 5 beta readers and 5 out of your 5 beta readers say that, hey, I wanted more romance between these 2 characters, that's something that might be worth considering. Because if that's what compelled them the most going into your story, knowing that it was an adventure, then that might be the element of the story that they feel like is not necessarily changing it, but they feel like needs to be amped up in order to deliver on what it is that you're trying to deliver. So also keep that in mind as well.
I agree.
So, but that being said, I am going to go ahead and cut this here so this podcast episode doesn't get too long. But like I said, you guys, if you want to see the full uncut version, video version of this, it is on the Patreon. If you would like to see examples from my own experiences with beta reading, as well as what I send out to my beta readers so that I get the kind of feedback that I'm looking for, then sign up for the Patreon. $5 gets you in, and it gets you access to not only this, it also gets you access to the after chat, which is on the Melanin Chat. The Melanin Chat, which is hosted on the YouTube channel on Tuesdays once a month. So check it out. But yeah. That is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin Podcast, you guys. If you found this podcast helpful and you would like to speak with me one-on-one about your own author journey, then check out my mentoring services. I'm always happy to help and share what I know. And if you'd like to support the podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Grab a copy of my book, We Are the Origin, from my website, cmlockhart.com, or request my book at your local library. You can also pre-order the second book in the series, We Are Dying Gods, right now. There are links in the show notes for everything, and as always, I appreciate you guys for listening. So, until next time, I hope your days are lovely and your books are full of melanin. Bye!